Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Torrent Power Limited Q3 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saurabh Mashruwala, Executive Director and CFO from Torrent Power Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining Torrent's earnings call for Torrent Power for Q3 FY26. First, I will take you through the performance for the quarter, after which phone lines will be open for the Q&A session. We'll explain the performance of the company at PBT level first, then we'll take you through the tax expenses separately. Reported PBT for the quarter stood at 805 crores as compared to 630 crores the corresponding quarter of last year, an increase of 175 crores, that is about 28% on a reported basis. PBT for the corresponding quarter to last include non-recurring income of 77 crores on account of sale of cable business. Adjusted for this one-off, PBT for the quarter stood at 805 crores as compared to 553 crores in the comparable quarter of last year, an increase of 252 crores, that is 46% on an adjusted basis. Tax expenses were lower during the quarter as favorable regulatory orders received during the quarter are eligible for the tax exemption. Business-wise factors contributing to the performance of the quarter are as follows. First, contribution for thermal generation business reported an increase of 163 crores, mainly on account of three factors. First, receipt of favorable orders from the regulators. Second, lower contribution from sale of merchant power and LNG by 75 crores, and foreign currency fluctuation and other expenses resulting in an increase in higher expenses to the extent of 35 crores. Second, contribution from the distribution business increased by 106 crores, mainly on account of three factors. First, improvement in T&D losses at distribution franchisee units, partially offset by the higher T&D losses in the licensed distribution business. Second, additionally, contribution from licensed distribution business was supported by increase in ROE and ROCE on account of capitalization of assets and higher rate of returns on equity as per new tariff regulations and other incentives. Third, receipt of favorable orders from the regulator by 41 crores. For business, contribution from renewable generation increased by 24 crores, mainly on account of higher PLF from the existing wind power projects due to better wind resources, coupled with the contribution made by the newly commissioned solar capacity of 285 MW. Fourth, other factors contributing to lower profitability was on account of two factors. First, increase in miscellaneous expenses and depreciation, partially offset by reduction in finance costs on the back of prepayment made in Q4 of FY25. This completes the explanation of the financial performance during the quarter. Moving on to the project subject, first, during the quarter, RE pipeline increased by 500 MW. For 1.6 GW thermal project, power supply agreement has been executed with MP Power Management Company Limited. Contract for balance plant of machinery has been awarded for the projects. For the progressive commissioning of 360 MW MSEDCL project, aggregate installed generation capacity in the company stood at 5 GW as of December 31, 2025, comprising of 2.7 GW ASS project, close to 2 GW of renewable capacity, and 62 MW coal-based capacity. Pipeline projects are, as the end of the quarter includes, 4 GW renewable capacity, 2.3 GW of pumped storage capacity, 1.6 GW coal-based capacity, and two transmission projects at Khavda and the solar pool. Further details of the pipeline projects have been summarized in our latest investor presentation available on the website. That's all for this quarter. Now, I request coordinator to open the Q&A session. We wish everybody to stay safe and healthy. Thank you. Handing over to the operators.
Sir, can we proceed with the Q&A?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to use handsets while asking a question. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Sukriti D. Patil from iSight FinTrade Private Limited. Thank you. Please proceed.
Good evening to the team. I have two questions. My first question to Mr. Saurabh is, Torrent Power has expanded across generation, distribution and renewables. Growth often brings some pressure on costs and cash flow. Going forward, how will you balance investing in new renewable projects with keeping debt and margins under control? What clear signals will tell you it's time to slow expansion and focus more on the financial discipline? I want to understand your point of view on this. Thank you.
Yeah, in terms of financial discipline, if you look at our leverage ratio, are quite comfortable. For example, our net debt to equity ratio is 0.40 as of March 25. And net debt to EBITDA is 1.41. So company is under-leveraged company right now. And with this investment, our leverage ratio will remain comfortable, I would say, in terms of our current investment plan. So we are maintaining financial discipline and improving our return on equity and ROCE going forward once we implement all this project in pipeline, right?
Thank you. My second question to Mr. Shah is, again, along the similar line, just want to understand the plan of action basically in this. Fuel cost and regulatory changes can impact, can have an impact on the profits, I believe. What financial disciplines do you use to protect the returns? Like, for example, do you have a minimum margin requirement, a debt ratio, that you won't cross, or a cash cycle target in mind? How do these rules shape your investment and decision-making process? You want to understand that. Thank you.
Generally, the new projects being financed at 70-30 or maybe 75-25 debt equity ratio. So that is what typically we do the financing. In terms of, if you look at the sector per se, there are lots of investment opportunity growing up because of growing up by the sectors. And yes, we do have an investment plan, but we are mindful of our financial metrics, I would say, in terms of debt equity ratio and net debt to EBITDA ratio, and which is very comfortable. And we will, if you look at the figures also, is very going aggressively. So definitely our ratios will be the lower of the figures, and we will be comfortable with those kind of ratios, leverage ratios.
Thank you and best wishes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sumit Kishore from Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. First, I think it's been a very strong P&L performance in the quarter. Just want to understand a few numbers here. You mentioned that there is increased contribution from gas-based power plants because of some regulatory benefits, as well as a higher merchant and LNG sale contribution in the quarter. What is the size of the regulatory benefit? And we haven't seen much merchant generation in Q3 based on the PLF numbers. So is that 75 crore number that you mentioned mainly coming from LNG sales? That's the first question.
So the contribution from the merchant LNG is lower in this quarter, not higher, I would say. That is what we would like to clarify. So it's lower basically by 75 crore as compared to the comparable quarter of last year. We got some favorable orders from the regulator, which has I would say added the bottom line of the company by close to 270 crores.
Okay, so that basically explains the extent of the positive surprise. 270 crore.
Yeah.
Why? What was the regulatory item about?
It is one of the generation projects.
Which one? Sujain, you know Sujain? PGEN is not, I mean, you know, PGEN is
it's a gas-based generation, so like we got
it's gas-based generation project. PGEN or UNO-PGEN?
UNO-PGEN project.
And why did this regulatory benefit crop up? What is the background? This is explaining the entire profit beat in the quarter.
We'll explain off the call. We'll explain it.
Okay, Saraji. The second question is, related to CapEx. So, basically, in renewable, so far this financial year, in 9 months period, what is the CapEx that you have incurred and what is your CWIP in renewable as of December end? And has there been any pickup in pace of CapEx in renewable in third quarter?
Yeah, there has been pickup in the CapEx also in the third quarter because we have to implement many projects together. So there has been pickup in the CapEx in last one or two quarters. And it has, the pace will continue going forward also because we have pipeline of CapEx, pipeline of renewable projects, and there's a renewable project, pump storage project and coal project is going to be implemented. So there is a pickup in CapEx also.
So, Sumit, just to add, Q3 renewable project, we had incurred a CapEx of 1750 crores. If I look at the YTD number, it was around 3100 crores. So you can understand the increase in the renewable project's CapEx. So 3100 crores YTD, which means 6 months, we would be around 1500 crores of CapEx. In this quarter itself, we have done 1700 crores of CapEx.
Excellent. That is what I was looking for. Yeah, perfect. So there is a pickup in CapEx and given the transmission constraints and everything else put together, of the 4.3 gigawatt odd RE pipeline under construction, what should be the phase out in terms of commissioning, say fourth quarter and next financial year and the year after that? I mean, if you can give us a broad sense, that would be useful.
So we can give the sense of about for the next year, we expect to commission about 1.2 to 1.5 gigawatt next year. I think in a similar pace, we can expect in next year also, the year thereafter also.
Okay. So this financial year, FY26, will be a fairly weak year in terms of renewable capacity addition, relatively.
Yeah.
Okay. And just one more question, power demand growth in the last 15 days has been quite bad. I mean, after 22nd of January, it's once again become flattish kind of power demand growth for almost 15 plus days that we last checked. I mean, is that something you all have been noticing? Is there any specific reason? And is there any probability of Section 11 getting implemented as we enter into higher demand period this year as well? I mean, what is your sense?
So one can say that it's an exception kind of a thing, aberration kind of a thing, I would say. Because if GDP has to grow at 6.5 to 7%, power demand has to grow in a similar line, otherwise GDP won't be growing at that particular rate. The two things basically, one is the last year the demand was very, very strong, the base was very strong last year. And the second is the extent of the monsoon in the current year has impacted the power demand. But this kind of the scenario every year, I would say. So it has to grow in line with the GDP growth, I would say. That is what we can say. So one should ignore the current year, one should treat it as a aberration kind of a thing, and one should not look at the current demand scenario, I would say.
Well, completely. Again, it started happening last 15 days. Power demand growth is not there. I hope this does not continue. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just first wanted to understand DISCOM performance a bit. First on the sale of units within DISCOM, so overall we understand power demand was relatively flattish YoY in the quarter. When I look at Ahmedabad, Surat and all, most regions you're witnessing decline. Is that what is, in your view, driving that decline? Is it behind the meter? Is it something else that's driving this decline YOY? And then maybe can you talk a little bit more about the ROE increase that you've seen historically? If I'm not mistaken, it was 14%. Saying that this year there is an increase in ROE for DISCOM, that in addition to some one-off of 41 CR has driven this almost 20% YOY increase in EBITDA in DISCOM despite a decrease in the purchase of units. Can you explain this power with DISCOM performance?
In terms of demand, yes, definitely demand is lower this quarter. But as I explained earlier in the call, that it's an aberration kind of a thing because of the extended monsoon. Last year base was very high. So both the combined effect one can see in the demand. But this is treated as an aberration because GDP and the power demand has to go in line, in hand in hand with the, means line with the demand, GDP. So it has to be there. Demand will definitely come, and at least 5-6% demand when one can see next year. In terms of
was trying to understand the current Ahmedabad, Surat, we understand the power demand has been muted, but Gujarat has still reported positive YOY demand growth in third quarter. So what is driving this decline in specific pockets? Is it more residential rooftop or something? Just trying to understand YOY decline on certain of your
Satyadeep, if you really look at it, dissect it, Ahmedabad is more of residential, less of commercial. Because of extended monsoons and winters also pretty good, typically this quarter demand goes down, and this year particularly because of good winter, demand in Ahmedabad has gone down. If you look at Surat, Surat is more of an industrial area, but again that has been impacted because of the diamond industry not being in shape, the textiles also not being going good, because of which Surat also has been impacted. If you look at DNH, it has shown some growth, but again because of the industrial activity, it has not shown the growth which it used to report, around 3-4%. So I think there are mixed factors involved in each area. You have to look at from how the mix is there between industrial, commercial and residential.
Okay. And in terms of increase, regulated return, one-off, can you maybe
So just going back to your earlier question, you said that demand has gone down but your ROEs have increased. So first of all, I just want to clarify that our profitability is not actually dependent on the unit growth for license distribution businesses. It is more dependent on the capitalization which we do as we get ROEs.
So there is no correlation between the demand and the our return profitability, I would say. And second thing, regarding carrying cost order, if you look at our regulatory asset, on regulatory asset, we do earn some carrying cost, but we account for the carrying cost when it is approved by the regulator. So this kind of order will keep on coming, I would say. That is what we can say right now. Hello? Hello.
Sir, participant has left the queue.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Dhruv Mushil from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, most of my questions are asked by Sumit and Satya, but just probably some follow-ups. In the opening remarks, you mentioned distribution profitability is also improved because of higher capitalization and higher ROE. So, is there some change in ROE rates in any of these circles?
Yeah, it's 14 to 15.5%.
Okay, in Gujarat it has moved from 14 to 15.5.
Yeah, ROCE basically.
14 to 15.5, okay. And this will be applicable for the next tariff period, or 3 to 5 years?
Yeah.
Or is it only for a single?
MYT regulation, as per MYT regulation.
MYT regulation. Okay, perfect, got it. And sir, does it also apply to your thermal asset, Amgen, or only for distribution?
No.
It's only for distribution, okay. And sir, second is on the renewable.
True, just to correct, it will also apply for Amgen because it's part of distribution.
Yeah.
It's part of distribution. Okay, perfect. And the next question is on the renewable execution. Now you have a decent pipeline of wind assets and hydro assets to be executed based on your PPT to be executed the in FY27. So you have, I think, SECI 15, then TPDL project and IMCL project. So we are hearing a lot of challenges in the sector because both a mix of transmission issues and a mix of wind execution issues. And your near-term visibility is primarily driven by wind and hybrid. So if you can help us a bit more in terms of probably, I don't know, the proportion of land that you have acquired, the quantum of transmission which is available with you already, which gives you visibility that this 1.2, 1.5 gigawatt can actually happen.
In terms of land, we are reasonably okay. Land is not the issue. Only thing, maybe the ROW issue everybody is facing, we may face, but we have to handle those issues and we have to implement our execution plan.
Okay. So, because it's a mix of wind and transmission, which it seems the challenge is generally even higher than solar and transmission. So, just wanted to understand the comfort on the commissioning targets.
We are comfortable, I would say, in terms of implementing the 1.2 to 1.45 gigawatt project next year at this moment.
Okay. So probably the equipment would get available, the wind equipment. But on transmission, do you have the transmission access already or it's in the applied stage and it is pending commissioning?
Yeah, connectivity is all available for most of the projects, I would say.
Okay. The physical substation probably is already commissioning.
That is to be...
So I think, Dhruv, there are two parts to it. One is that you have the connectivity, which is yet to be commissioned. So some of our projects will have connectivity to those substations which are already commissioned. Some of our projects are having connectivity where augmentation or a new substation is getting commissioned. So it will be a mix of both.
Okay. But based on your assessment, individual substation-wise and project-wise, you are reasonably certain of 1.2, 1.5 gigawatt.
Yeah.
And so generally we have seen, generally in the industry, the bidding activity is low. If you commission 1.2 this year, 1.2 next year, you are already, done through your contracted pipeline, including the C&I projects, of course. You already done through the merchant capacity. How do we see? How are you looking at the visibility beyond that? Given we consider this a platform business, so how about visibility beyond the next 2 years?
We are bidding for the most of the project, I would say, but we restrict ourselves to our threshold IRR. If you look at the last Q3, we added about 100 megawatt additional incremental capacity. So we keep on bidding and we keep on aiming for the higher capacities also going forward.
So I was wondering, can you probably get more aggressive in the C&I project side until the utility bidding happens, or that's a limited market and probably...
So we are already aggressive. Effectively, we are there in all the bids or all, majority of the C&I consumers. It's all about the commercials aspect of it. If commercials are feasible, we would definitely want to lock in capacity. As we have stated earlier also, I think our aspiration is to reach a 10 gigawatts of renewable capacities, which we look at it. If commercials are favorable, we will definitely want to lock in those. Past also, we have seen that 1.5 years, the capacities were not growing. Suddenly in 6 months, we had built up 3 gigawatts of capacity. So, those opportunities are available in the market. As and when available, we'll be able to catch there.
Sure. And just one clarification, the 1.2, 1.4 is at the AC level or is it the DC level? Is it megawatt peak or megawatt?
DC level.
This is DC level. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, I got disconnected. One question on the PSP. In the presentation, you mentioned October 28 as the SUD. Just want to understand, it looks aggressive given it 2.5 years from now. How do you look at this timeline versus typically what we are hearing in the, we're seeing and hearing in the industry from others? And where are you in terms of preparedness to get this executed in 2.5 years?
We are preparing ourselves for the execution contract. Major contract, I would say, has been given for the plant, PSP project. So, maybe some delay may happen, but as of now, we are all contract, key contract has been given.
So, October 28 is the deadline as per the agreement with NHPDCL, right? And there can be extension to this for how long? What is the agreement typically say about extension? Does it have to be because of some particular reasons?
Transmission capacity is not available in Kanabajing. Their substation may not be ready. So those Kanabajing will get the extension.
Okay. And on DISCOM, again, so ROE, you mentioned this. Also want to understand, is there there's a one-off that you talked about in DISCOM. So is that 41 CR at the PAT level and the 270 crore you mentioned in generation is also at the PAT level? Can you explain?
These are all PBT levels.
PBT levels.
So 270 CR in generation, Unosugen is PBT and this 41 CR in DISCOM is also PBT.
Yes, yes.
And just on this one or two RE projects where you're seeking SCOD extension, is that mainly because of lack of transmission for these projects? Everything is installed on ground, you're just waiting for transmission or something else?
So if you are seeing that transmission project is getting delayed, if you put up everything on ground, effectively you are incurring indirect costs, which nobody will reimburse you to. So you will always calibrate your implementation based on your expectation of transmission being commissioned.
So the execution of all the project is in line with the transmission is coming. It's in sync with the transmission line.
So these two projects where you're seeking extension, the SECI 12 and the MSCDCL 1, maybe how much delay are you looking at here? This is all transmission in which location is this?
So I think project by project there are different issues. If you look at MSCDCL, we have already commissioned part of it. It is only some part of it which is pending, which is not because of transmission, it is because of some other factors. Okay. As far as SECI 12 is concerned, it is because of transmission not being ready, the evacuation part of it not being ready. So every project will have its own nuances, because of which there are certain pluses and minuses.
Okay. So, but as of now, you must have some visibility on SECI 12, or this you expect in FY27, correct?
FY27.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Atul Tiwari from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks a lot. So first, I wanted to check whether in this quarter you booked any income from the NBVN contract, because I suppose there was some take and pay and the contract was supposed to have finished by October.
So, no, the contract was over by September 2-2, so we have not booked any income in 2-3.
Okay. And sir, this 270 crore rupees, to what period does it relate to? Does it relate to only this year or past few years? And what part of this will be recurring going ahead?
Past year, basically. It is not recurring, it is one time.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Chetan Jain from Avidus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So just on the clarification on the previous question, is even the 41 crore favorable order in distribution is also one time or is it recurring?
If you look at, as I explained in my call earlier, we are carrying some regulatory assets, and that regulatory asset is carrying the carrying cost. So we keep on getting this kind of orders, favorable orders on carrying cost on a regular basis. That is what we can say right now.
Pertaining to Ahmedabad and Surat?
Ahmedabad, yes. But Ahmedabad and Surat, yes.
Okay. Can you give us, you gave the capex for RE. If you could provide us the total capex in terms of licensee, franchisee and RE separately.
You want for this quarter or the cumulative YTD basis?
Cumulative 9 months, sir.
Cumulative 9 months, about 1,100 crores for license and franchise basically. Both put together.
Okay.
Then transmission about 240 crores. Core project is about 200 crores. ESC we incur about 300 crores. Renewable, as we explained, about 3100 crores. That is what we have incurred basically. Capex. I mean, and 9 months.
What did you say after transmission, sir? I couldn't get the number.
Transmission after transmission, thermal project, coal project basically.
How much more?
About 400 crores.
400 crores. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is 4,200. So around 4,000. So what is the target for FY26, sir?
Sorry?
What is the target capex for FY26?
We don't give any target for the FY26.
Achha. So, but we will have a similar run rate as in third quarter.
Yeah, run rate is, if you look at the Q3, run rate has increased, so similar pace will be there for going forward also.
Okay, sir, that's it. I'll get back into queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bharani V from Avidus Spark. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so I just want to clarify one thing. The 270 crores, negative 77 crores on the generation side and the 41 crores on the distribution side, these are all PBT numbers, right?
PBT numbers.
So can you give a corresponding EBITDA number for these three, sir, for the third quarter?
It is given in the, we give the segment analysis also, where the EBITDA numbers are generally given.
So the incremental 270 crores is PBT, so what would be the incremental specifically on this regulatory one-time impact on the EBITDA side?
This is the EBITDA number only.
So EBITDA and PBT, there is no difference between these.
Okay, and second question is, of course someone also asked on the nature of this favorable regulatory order on Unocision, is it possible to explain that? Hello.
Mr. Bharani, please respond.
Yeah, so we've explained.
No, I'm wondering.
41 crores of carrying cost order, which keep on coming because we are carrying regulatory assets. So,
sir, my question is on the 270 crores of favorable regulatory income we booked due to Unocision. So just you can explain what was this related to?
We'll not able to explain at this moment right now.
Okay, my final question is on this 41 crores on the distribution side you mentioned. Somewhere I think you also mentioned that the ROE has increased from 14% to 15.5%. Is that something that I heard right?
No, that is the ROE basically. This carrying cost order is different.
Okay, so ROE having increased from 14 to 15.5.
ROE is now ROC basically, not ROE.
So that is neutral, right? Because at the ROE level it will be same, because it's just a different way of compensating, but still the net profitability at the ROE level will still be the same.
So Bharani, basically ROC, I mean 14 or 15 and a half, there are certain milestones which regulator has defined. If you are meeting those milestones, you can earn up to 15.5%. So there are different parameters which have been defined.
So Rishi, my question is, earlier we were getting compensated based on ROE, which was 14% regulated.
Fourteen has moved to 15.5, but the methodology has changed from ROE to ROCE. But 15.5 also is ROE. But there are certain slabs. So if you achieve this much, you can get 25 basis point incremental. If you achieve this much, you can get a 50 basis point incremental. So a 14 or 15.5 both are effectively ROE numbers, but a regulator has shifted from ROE to ROCE.
Okay, Rishi, I will pick it up offline, no problem. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aniket Mittal from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, that is one clarification that I wanted. So, let's say on an all-in basis, given this new MYT order, what's the increase in ROE that we are effectively seeing in Ahmedabad and Surat?
Yeah, one second.
So, Aniket, basically what we are trying to say is that 14 is an ROE, 15.5 also is an ROE. The methodology has been changed from ROE to ROCE. First point. Second is, under the regulations, regulator has defined a base ROE or ROCE on equity. Then there are certain milestones based on which your return on equity increases if you achieve those milestones. And the highest one which you get is 15.5%.
So are we trending at the highest one? I'm just trying to understand, let's say the incremental delta in ROE, is it 150 itself for us or is it somewhere in the middle?
So we would aim at incremental delta of 150 basis points. Some years you may not be able to achieve them if you are not achieving those milestones. So it could be slightly lower.
Okay. The other question I had was just for Bhiwandi. I think the franchise agreement for Bhiwandi is valid till January 27, which is about a year away. Just want to understand what's the discussions over there. How does one think about that franchise agreement going forward?
So we are under discussion right now with the MSCDC about for the extension.
Okay. Fair. And just one last question. What would be the overall regulatory assets currently on Ahmedabad and Surat right now?
Regulatory asset would be around 3,000 crores.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes on the line of Anuj Upadhyay from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Can you elaborate further on the LNG sale agreement which we have done with the JERA? And with this 0.27 MMTPA, how much of the fuels we have secured across our gas station and for what period?
So, JERA agreement is about 0.27 MTPA, which is transferring the co-cargo. It's starting from 2027 to 2037 for 10 years contract we have exhibited.
Okay, so this is 0.27 cumulative, you're saying?
Per annum,
which we are doing. Okay, and with this, how much of the total requirement? Hello?
So requirement will be about 25% kind of a change.
Okay. And on the pricing front, how exactly these contracts are placed? Are they fixed? Are they flexible?
It's a flexible, it's a link with the brand.
Oh, got it, got it. And second, on the SMK side, any timeline by when we can achieve, we are targeting to achieve a break-even over there, or anything on the profitability? So basically not exactly aware how the profitability are placed over there. It's been almost like 4 or 5 years we have taken over the circle. So how things are progressing over there in terms of profitability?
So in terms of ATMC losses, if you look at, we have reached already reached about 20% kind of a level. So we are near to the break-even, I would say.
So by next year, we can expect break-even happening, sir? FY27?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and how much capex you would have spent till date on SMK?
Numbers currently,
we have to get back to you.
We have to get back to you. Numbers, we have to pull out the numbers on a cumulative basis.
Okay, and any update on the parallel licensing?
There is no further update at this moment.
Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I missed the MIT regulation actually. Just to clarify, I was reading the regulation. The change to the return on capital employed method is only applicable for capitalizations post April 25. Is that understanding right?
Yes, yes.
So, it's basically a prospective change. For the older assets, you continue to earn the ROE as you were earning earlier. Of course, the rate has changed. But for the incremental assets stabilized, it moves to the ROCE model.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Perfect, sir. That's the only clarification. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Arul Selvan from Bajaj Life Insurance Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are, sir.
Yes. This is a follow-up of the previous question that somebody asked. The question is with respect to the incremental milestones that have to be achieved to get that 150 points delta on the ROE. Could you just give us a sense of what is the nature of those milestones that have to be achieved before we can get that 150 basis point delta?
Arul, these are all milestones are linked to operational efficiencies, like your ADNC loss, your IP, your IV, your other parameters linked to your efficient operational parameters.
Okay, okay. And is there any timeline by which you have to achieve that, or is it like you get that?
It's a yearly. Based on yearly performance.
Okay, okay, okay. So I was wondering if there's any normative level that we'll have to achieve every particular year before we're eligible for those incentives.
Yeah, those normative levels are there, and if we achieve those normative, we will get extra incentive.
Okay, okay. Secondly, one more question was with respect to again the Bhiwandi distribution franchise. Does the existing contract have any clauses for renewal, or is it going to be like a fresh sort of a bid that the government has to invite for renewal of the current distribution franchise?
So if you look at our investor PPT, we have already said there can be extended of 5 years upon mutual agreement.
So it's a mutual discussion going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be extendable for further period of 5 years.
Okay, okay. So hopefully we should be hearing some news about that before Feb 2020. So I'm just wondering if there's any deemed extension clause if there's no news on that at all.
There is no automatic extension clause, and we need to discuss with MSCDCL.
Okay, okay. And lastly, with respect to your parallel licensing, I'm trying to get a sense of how much could be the amount of capital that you could be investing if the parallel licensing applications are allowed. In any rough sense in terms of...
I think it's too early to comment on that. Unless it is awarded, I think we should first get the first thing cleared and then we can discuss on that.
And it depends on the area also. So how large is the area, how small is the area. So it all depends on the approval we are going to get on particular area.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Bharani B from Avidus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Are there any short-term gas tenders in the market right now? We've heard something is coming up from Tamil Nadu. Can you please elaborate if there is any such short-term?
See, very recently, the 19 tenders was closed.
I think Bharani, we'll not be able to comment on that for the future part.
Okay, no, I'm just asking, is there any gas tender, like the NVVN
yes,
kind of tender that...
No, not like NVVN tender as of now, but see, as we, the summer comes in, typically DISCOMs keep on doing short-term contracts for procuring power for their requirement. So that is a normal phenomena which happens.
And there is a possibility that something like NVVN tender comes up for this year too, right?
We're not able to comment at this point of time.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Saurabh Mashruwala for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the joining Torrent Power earnings call. We wish everybody to stay safe and healthy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Torrent Power Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.